Welcome, everybody. If you'd like to take your seat, welcome to everybody here. Thank you for braving the cold weather and coming out. Welcome to everyone on Zoom as well. You made maybe a wise choice tonight, who knows? But we're all here together, and that's a really good thing. My name's Matthew. I'm the lead pastor here at Cedar Ridge. And whether you've been coming here for years and years, or whether this is your first time here, you are really welcome. We are going to start off today with a prayer, and Addie's going to lead us in that prayer. She's going to read a few lines, and then we will say a line. It'll all appear on the screen for us. So let's pray together.
Born baby in a manger, and you bring us strength, and you are the light of the world. God, you come to us as a child born to a poor family in Bethlehem, and you bring us real life.
You are the light of the world.
God, you come to us in all our troubles, in the troubles of the world, and you are the Prince of Peace. You are the light of the world. We welcome you now. Strength for the weak. Giver of life. Prince of Peace. Light of the world. Come to us and restore all that has been lost. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Eddie. So, yes, we're celebrating the light of the world tonight. We, as followers of Jesus, recognize Jesus coming into the world, being born in our reality as this incredible miracle of divine love, divine light pouring into the world. And as a symbol of that, we have our Advent candles that represent us waiting. We've been lighting a candle each week for the last 4 weeks, waiting for Christmas, for the birth of Jesus, and the Christ candle in the middle represents the birth of Jesus. We'll light that later on in the service. But I'm gonna light the candles that we've been lighting over the last few weeks. The first one was represented hope. And Christmas is this time where we're in all kinds of different ways encouraged to believe, right? To believe that things like love and peace and justice and goodness and kindness are actually possible, that we can be like that too. And the second candle we lit this time around was the candle representing love, something that we're hoping for, that we would be loved, that we would be loving, be more loving as people. The third candle we lit was for joy, a celebration of life, celebration of this light coming into the world. And then this past Sunday, we lit the candle that represents peace, something that, again, I think we all want to experience, something that we want to give away. We want to be bringers of peace, peacemakers. We know the world needs peace, and we probably all want to feel more peace in our own lives. Maybe we're stricken with anxiety or weighed down with worry. The light of the world coming in brings us peace. As we look on these candles, Charlotte's going to read from us from the prophet Isaiah, who was about 800 years or so before the time of Jesus, a prophecy about the light coming into the world. Let's listen to Charlotte.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Comes darkness, come light, come new stars shining bright, come love to this world's night, alleluia. Come broken, come home, Come fearful to this door. Come see what this love is for. Alleluia. Come running, come walking slow. Come weary on your broken road. Come see him shed your heavy load. Alleluia. There's a humble stable that lies within. There's an angel of the wise men. Today's babe is born in Bethlehem. Alleluia. Come darkness, come light. Come new stars shining bright. Come love to this world tonight. Alleluia.
I'm most able.
Alleluia. Alleluia.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying there in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Please stand.
Angels, we have heard on high, seen thee singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains.
Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
The kids are going to lead us in a song, and all kids are welcome. Okay. So all the kids are going to lead us in a song. Just come onto the stage, and we're going to gather right here.
Only son, only son, only son.
Well, there's always something that happens at one of our Christmas Eve services, and that was nearly it. first of all, what a great job by the children's choir. Let's give them a round of applause. I always have the difficult job of getting up after them. It's always a bit of a downer, you know, after that. But so I've got a few things to segue. First one, I think we ought to give a round of applause to Jen Float for saving that reef, right? Talk about reflexes. And another round of applause. One of our other pastors, Ruth Campbell, put that thing together so solidly. She assembled all that. So a round of applause for Ruth, because that thing held together like a rock. That was very, very impressive. Just had a couple of announcements what I wanted to make before sharing a few words about Christmas. First one is this. You may have noticed on your way in, on the back of the little program you got, that we have some chocolates available at the end of the service. They're over out by the doorway. Just grab a few of those. And the idea is just drop it off at somebody, maybe you pass a gas station or a restaurant where people are having to work on Christmas Eve, and you can make a little donation, just a way of bringing some light into people's lives. There's a little tag on it that explains why we're doing it. So there's a list of opportunities, suggestions of places you can take that gift on the back of that program. So do check that out. Also wanted to mention, this is an important time of giving for our church community. You know, our whole community is run by the donations of the members of the community. Year end is always an important time for us. So please do remember in these last few days of 2022 to give generously. I've said this many times before, but we are not a church that believes in guilt. We don't pressure people, guilt people. We don't think God is a judgmental, angry person in the sky. But we could be wrong, right? So why take the risk and just give in case anyway, right? Because everybody gets it wrong sometimes. No, seriously, if you're new here, if you've been brought along by somebody who does come to this church, we are not after your money. Let me just assure you of that. We always feel a little bit awkward about even saying it. But if you do belong to our community, we absolutely are after your money. And please give generously. Okay. So with those two announcements out of the way, let's come back to this theme of Christmas that we've been reflecting on in those readings that we've been hearing. The Christmas story. And over the last few weeks during Advent as a church, we've been reflecting on Christmas in the culture, how there are so many different traditions, not all of them that come from a religious background or a Christian religious background, but all these traditions that we have at Christmas, you know, we have some of them around tonight. Evergreen trees like the Christmas tree, you know, which represent eternal life, a life during the winter time, continuing on when it seems like a dead season of the year. Lights that we decorate our trees with and put around that are symbols of light in darkness, because Christmas, the Christmas time of year, we don't know when Jesus was born, what time of the year. It was likely not to have been winter. But early Christians decided to celebrate the birth of Jesus at a time when ancient people celebrated light in darkness, the rebirth of the sun, the winter solstice, which we had just a few days ago. It was the shortest night. So in other words, the 21st of December, I think it was about 10:47 p.m., the solstice happened. And from now on, it's getting lighter and lighter and lighter. Light is coming back, you know, because of the orbit of the Earth around the sun. So that's a celebration that I think very often we sort of replicate it with our lights and our fires and those trappings. But that was a very real celebration for ancient people, because they were not sheltered from the elements in the way that we are today, except that maybe this winter, in the last few days, we've been able to appreciate it even more. Like, how many of us lost power over the last few days? Fair few people. We lost power for a couple of days. It got down to 35 degrees in our house. And then the power came back on this morning, but our furnace is bust. So we're still struggling with that. But I remember last night in my typical immature, miserable, say, this is terrible, what's happening, you know, it was cold, and we're fortunate to have a log fire, and we got logs on the fire. But I was looking at some of the lights that we still had on, even though the power's out, we have some battery-operated ones, and thinking just how our trappings of Christmas like represent light in darkness, warmth in cold, but really they're battery-operated or electrically operated. They're very comfortable. We're sort of sheltered in some sense from that reality that our ancestors, ancient people, celebrated at this time of the year. And it's fitting that Christmas would be celebrated at that time of year as well, because we're celebrating, as we said earlier, the light of the world coming to us. It's like the birth of the Son of God, as opposed to the birth of the sun, the star, our star. And it's a fitting time to celebrate it. It's also, I think, we see in the Christmas story a similar way in which we might be somewhat sheltered by some of the harsh reality of Jesus coming into the world, the light of the world. Because the story, when we read the Christmas story or when we think about the Christmas story, we often think about the more cozy trappings, you know, angels singing or people with halos and a nice, comfy, beautifully lit stable that wasn't really cold and drafty and smelly and terrible. But the reality of Christmas is there's a really poor family who have to make a journey to Bethlehem because the dictator of that time, the Caesar of that time, wanted to basically count everybody so he could make sure he's getting taxes from everyone. And they don't have a choice about it. They have to make that journey for the census. And that represents the darkness of empire, the darkness of injustice, the darkness of suppression that they were subject to. Jesus comes into all that harshness, that cold, that darkness, if you like, and lights it up. But it's lit up in a very quiet kind of way. And we've been reading these prophecies about Jesus. We heard one from Isaiah a little bit earlier, and we've been looking at numerous ones throughout the season of Advent. Let's look at another one now from Isaiah 42, which I think gets at this sort of the quietness, if you like, the undramatic nature of Jesus coming into the world. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. So Christians would say that is a prediction about Jesus. That is looking ahead to a time when Jesus is going to come. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. We could interpret that as in the world will put their hope. So this prophecy that's suggesting that a time is going to come where someone will be so full of God, so full of justice, so full of peace, so full of love, so full of goodness, that they will be light to the world, and they will bring healing and bring reconciliation to the world. And it's interesting that Christmas is a time when we're encouraged to believe, right? That's a very major theme of Christmas, just believe. And when I was lighting those Advent candles, I sort of alluded to that first candle of hope is something that Christmas is all about. Hope that actually Jesus is the light of the world. The hope that actually Jesus does bring peace, does bring justice, and does come into our lives and do that for us personally, but do it in our culture as a whole. But it's easy, I think, not to believe that. It's easy to give up on that. It's easy, I think, to wonder whether, is that real? I mean, look at our world. Look what surrounds us. Look at the darkness there is. Look at the struggles we have in our own lives. Look at society and the brokenness of society and the hatred there is. And are we making any progress? Will we ever make any progress? I think Christmas is a time where we remind ourselves, and it's good that we do this every year, we remind ourselves to have hope, to believe that that's possible, to believe that it's still possible. And we might think of that, as I said, in two different kinds of ways, that believe about some of the issues going on in our own lives. We might feel like a bruised reed or a smoldering wick. That image of the bruised reed in that reading there is people would go down to the riverside and pull reeds to make baskets. And if a reed was broken or bruised, sometimes you couldn't tell from the outside, but you would know when you picked it because it would just fold and bend and it wouldn't be suitable for basket weaving. So you just throw it away. And here's the prophet saying this, you know, God's not like that. God's not going to throw people away. We're all broken in different ways, but we can all be used. We're all loved. We're all important. We're all special. That image of the smoldering wick, we might feel that our hope is just about to flicker out. Maybe hope for ourselves in situations we're in personally, or hope for the world. Maybe we are struggling for justice, struggling for peace, struggling for reconciliation. And it can almost feel like exhausting as though the flame that has burned perhaps brightly in the past is almost about to go out. And this prophet Isaiah is saying, one will come who will breathe life into that flame and bring it a light again. And that's so important for us because Jesus said, you are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. And that image of the candle is one of us going into the world like Jesus, bringing hope, bringing peace, bringing justice, not giving up, but believing that it's possible, refusing to lay peace aside, refusing to lay justice aside, refusing to just say, oh, I'm just going to get on with my life. That's as much as I can do. Rather to have that higher hope, that higher goal, that what Jesus talked about is possible. So Christmas is the time of year where we remind ourselves of that. And I don't know about you, but I feel frequently dejected or disappointed or downcast or I feel like giving up. Maybe over issues in my own life where I struggle and I don't seem to make any improvements. Especially when I look at the world and I think of like the situation, is it worth it? Is it worth believing in this way of Jesus? Does love work? Does kindness work? Christmas tells us, yes, it does. Yes, it does. And we're called to remain faithful to that. And that's what we're doing here at Cedar Ridge. We're just trying to be faithful to become the best people we can be, the most loving, kind people we can be. And that's a journey because none of us are there yet. And working together to make the world a better place, to bring peace, to bring justice. And I encourage you, if you are new to our community, we would love you to join us in participating in those two processes. We're all in this together. Nobody's better than anybody else here. We're all in this together. But please know that you are really welcome to join with us. I'm going to light now the what's known as the Christ candle, white candle in the middle, which represents the light of the world. So let's, as I light it, let's just gaze on the beauty of the flame and celebrate the light of the world. And I'm going to light a candle. Everybody should have received a candle when you came in today. So get your candles ready. So again, this flame represents Christ, the light of the world, but also the fact that we are the light of the world. So we are both receiving this light and giving it away. And we're going to do that together now. I'm going to come and light some of your candles. And then just light the candle of the person next to you or behind you. And while we're doing that, we're going to sing the carol Silent Night. So let's both welcome and receive the light, and let's give the light.
Silent.
Advent is a time of waiting, where we wait for the light of the world. But perhaps Christmas is a celebration of the fact that the world is waiting for us. And here, let's raise our candles. We are the light of the world. As we receive Jesus, we breathe out God's love into this universe. We're going to have a reading now, a final reading. I would suggest we blow our candles out, because some things have happened in the past. Of an inflammatory nature. This is our final reading, and then we'll sing our final carol together. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in God there is no darkness at all. Let's sing our final carol together.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let every seed obey. Let every heart prepare Him room.
Heaven and nature sing.
Heaven and nature sing.
Heaven and nature sing.
Heaven and nature sing.
And plains,
beneath
the
sounding joy.
The sounding joy.
The sounding joy.
The sounding joy.
Again, thanks so much for coming. Do remember to grab some chocolate truffles on your way out to give away as a way of sharing God's love with others on the way home. And the look for suggestions of where to drop those off on the back of the program you got when you came in. Thank you, everyone, for being here tonight. Thank you to everyone on Zoom. Let me wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and drive safely on the way home. Thanks so much for coming.